Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station right there in Madison, North Florida, South Georgia, but it is also a radio station that is heard anywhere in the United States, any nation of the world, because of its streaming live on the World Wide Web. We know there are other fine ministries right there in Madison and North Florida, pastors and teachers that preach and teach the Word of God, and we're just glad to be part of that great company that published God's Word. And we want to encourage everyone that is utilizing the media, that God is using the media in a powerful, powerful way to get the gospel to the far reaches of the earth. Amen. And we're part of that, and God is involved in that, and His Spirit is moving around the world. So we're just glad to be part of this great move of God, this great gathering in of souls in these last closing hours of time. Praise God. Well, we're excited about the message for this particular broadcast. The name of our broadcast is Let's Talk About Jesus, and today we're going to talk about Jesus, the healer of the broken. So if you're not a Christian, we want you to join us today. If you are a Christian, we invite you to see what God offers through His Word to every one of us who live in faulty bodies in a fallen world. We're all in the same boat in that respect, because we all are the inheritors of the curse that came through Adam's sin. And we live in a world that God is not pleased with, and God is going to change when Jesus comes. But until then, we need the special grace, the mercy, and the help that God provides, that we might get through this world with hope in our heart and healing in our lives. Praise God. You can't get through it without hurt, but we can get through it with God's help. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we read our scripture, Jeremiah 8 and verse 22, I want to read about this brokenness from a contemporary singer named Robert Zimmerman. You may better know as Bob Dylan. He once detailed the list of things that were broken in a song that was written in one of his albums some years ago. He was talking about those who were born back in the 80s from 1980 forward, a group, actually 65 through 80, a generation that those who judge and read the culture called busters. And the reason they were called busters is because of their attitude, what they saw and what they were looking at in this world. They saw a world where everything seemed to be broken, where so many broken lives, broken marriages, broken everything. And that's what the song was bringing. And he said, broken bottles, broken plates, broken switches, broken gates. Broken dishes, broken parts, streets are filled with broken hearts. Broken words never meant to be spoken, everything is broken. Broken bodies, broken bones, broken voices on broken phones. Take a deep breath, feel like you're choking, everything is broken. Broken treaties, broken vows, broken hands on broken plows. Broken pipes, broken tools, broken bending, broken people bending broken rules. Everything is broken. Bob Dylan sang these words on an album appropriately entitled, Oh Mercy. You see, friend, we live in a broken society which exists in a broken world, which is part of the broken human condition. The bad news is that everything is broken. Sin has brought a curse that God, by and large, gets blamed for on many occasions into this world. And this is what we want to do. We want to understand why a loving God can allow things to occur that are occurring in this fallen world. And we want to see what He offers as an antidote for all of the hurt and all of the pain that sin and the choice is to continue in sin instead of repent of sin and receive the healing and help that He offers today. We want to get this perspective right. It's vital that we get it right. And so we're going to talk about Jesus, the healer of the broken, out of Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22. Here's the question that the prophet is submitting to ancient Israel. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no antidote? Is there no healing? It's like standing at the doorway of a great hospital known for its healing and its physicians and its medications and its cures, and standing out there with some devastating disease that the cure is just beyond those doors. People are waiting to administer that cure and saying, why don't we go in and let them help us? There's a cure for this. There's an answer for this. Is there no balm in Gilead? Are there no physicians there? Everyone knew there was an answer. Then why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? First, I want to talk about the hurt today. Sin and rebellion always separates us from God and God's blessings and God's help and makes us vulnerable to our enemy. One of Johnny Cash's last video songs, and it stayed on MTV for quite some time. He sang the song Hurt, a song about drug addiction and the pain that it caused, not only the addict, but all those who loved and cared for the addicted person. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord laments for Jerusalem, the city which has a special place in His heart, and which He affectionately called the daughter of my people. But Jerusalem became a wicked city. And here's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. He said, why has this people slidden back? Why is Jerusalem in continual apostasy? No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Why are they in the condition they're in? Doesn't God love them? Yes, He calls them the daughter of my people. This is a special city, a special covenant people to God. And He said, why are they slidden back? Why are they in apostasy? No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? The city was characterized by falsehood, covetousness, immorality, and idolatry. The city was sick and about to die. Soon, the rival city of Babylon would fall upon Jerusalem and destroy it. Not because God wasn't willing to defend them, or God couldn't or wouldn't protect them, but because they would not turn to God and repent of sin so He could pardon, forgive, and restore His blessing and His covering. Across the River Jordan, not far from Jerusalem, was a land called Gilead. It was famous for its spices, ointments, and herbal remedies. The merchants to whom Joseph was sold had come from Gilead with camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them to Egypt, according to Genesis 37 and verse 25. So let's read the context at the beginning of verse 19 through 22 of Jeremiah 8. It said, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their craven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. These are some of the saddest words, I might add, in all of the Bible. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Verse 21 says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I want to make a statement here. The devil will only show you the pleasure of sin. He will never show you the pain, the end result, or the eternal consequences. Friend of mine, there's a scripture that said there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction and death. But at the moment it seems right. There's even a song about that. The lyrics of a song, anything that feels this good can't be wrong. Oh, what a lie from the enemy. What a terrible deception from the enemy of your soul and mine. This is not about fulfilling some sinful pleasure at the risk of losing our wife, our children, our job, our career, our reputation, and ultimately our very souls. Oh, friend, what would man give in exchange for his soul? God could never get over the choices that man would make because he never looked beyond that moment and he never saw the end result or the consequences. Friend of mine, there are people wasting away in prisons all across the world that did not see the end result. They did not see the consequences of their sin. And the enemy will bait us. He tempts us. And he tantalizes us. And he promises us a fulfillment. And he tells us we owe it to ourselves to fulfill ourselves with every kind of sin, no matter what the consequence. But there is an answer for those who are imprisoned, not just at iron bars, but are imprisoned in a prison of spiritual blindness and bound up in sin. There is those chains of darkness can be broken. There is a healing for the hurt that sin has caused, both to us and to others. Praise God. The book of Isaiah begins with a lament over the hurt and brokenness that sin had caused in the land. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, it says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evil doers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Friend, I want to read a scripture now. This will help us understand what David is talking about in Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, when he said, "Of the Lord who was his shepherd, thou anointest my head with oil." This reverence is not about gifts of the Spirit, gifts of ministry. It's not about the charismata. It is not about an anointing to preach and the attending gifts. It's about sheep with cut, bruised, or insect-bitten heads. It's about the healing of the hurt that left unattended would lead to death. The compassionate shepherd poured oil upon the head to soothe the pain, to promote the healing of that sheep. Many times healing herbs were mixed with oil. Oil became actually the transmitter of the healing herbs, and it would seal that wound from the flies laying eggs in it and maggots literally getting inside of it and an infection to develop. Amen. The oil was the transmitter of the healing balm. Amen. And oil is always in Scripture a type of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you today, God can anoint your head with oil, your heart with oil. The healing for the brokenness in your life can come. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is going to anoint your head with oil. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, and the pain and the heartache and the heartbreak of what sin has created in this world, maybe you've lost a child, maybe you've lost a husband or a wife to divorce or disease or death, and you wonder what's going on. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Yes, there is. But man's continual choices to sin without repentance has allowed Satan to hurt and to bring great harm. And many times, God gets the blame for it. And God is the one who is reaching out to you, and God is the one who is reaching out to me. He offers us mercy. He offers us the sufficiency of His grace, but above all, He offers us forgiveness and pardon and acceptance. Ah, friend, God will take you through this fallen world. He will help you with this faulty body until death, the last enemy, is destroyed, physical death. Ah, friend, it's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. We used to sing that great hymn, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." We also sang, "Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, walking and talking with Christ, the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there?" Problem is, we're not there yet. We're not in the sweet by and by. We're in the nasty here and now. And we need help from God. We need to turn to Him. If there's sin that we're pursuing, we need to repent of it so that God can heal the hurt that it has brought and keep it from bringing any more. There's a balm in Gilead. There's an answer for you today. There's an antidote for those that have been bitten and the poison of sin is within our veins. There is an antidote through the blood of Jesus Christ for you and for me today. There is a grace flowing from the throne of God and the heart of God. There is a mercy extended to you and extended to me. See, David knew the sores of sin, but he also knew the mercies of God and discovered the healing balm of God's grace and mercy through repentance and faith toward God. God loves you today. He knows what you're facing. The enemy will try to get you to doubt Him, accuse Him, instead of receive from His hand the help that you need, beginning with forgiveness of sin. You know, the Bible speaks of praying for the sick in James chapter 5 and verse 14 of the physically sick. And it says, "If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil." Hallelujah. Amen. "For the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall in the name of the Lord." You anoint them in the name of the Lord. "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them." You see, God wants that gap to be bridged that sin creates. He stood, He looked at Jerusalem in the New Testament. Jesus stood, and He said unto them, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem with a broken heart, how many times would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks, but you would not." And I want to add to that what He said as a preface to that. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stoned the prophets and killed them that are sent to thee." You see, God offers mercy. He sends His word. He sends His servants. Just like He's doing right now through this radio broadcast, He's once again sending His word. That's the scripture we claimed when we went on the air. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God's word is designed to illuminate you to the fact that if you're on the road that leads to destruction, that God is calling you to do a 180-degree turn. That's what repentance is. It's changing your mind. You may not and cannot change your own heart, but you can change your mind. And when you change your mind, God is then authorized to make changes in your heart and in your life. Praise God. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, today if you change your mind about the road that you are on, God will change you on the inside, from the inside out. He will forgive you. He will pardon you. He will bring you into His royal family. He will acknowledge you as His very son or daughter today. And the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become brand new. Praise God. This is the glory of the new covenant. He takes away the heart of stone and He replaces it with a heart of flesh. The enemy doesn't want you to see that today, but that's why God is sending His word to you. That's why we're on the air today, because we want to see people come to Jesus. We want to see that balm, hallelujah, that healing balm of mercy and grace and pardon and forgiveness and restoration applied to hearts and lives and families and marriages. You may be sitting in a prison cell today, a literal prison today, but God loves you. He'll forgive you. He will pardon you. He will restore to you what the enemy has stolen from you. It'll begin with a peace within, praise God, hallelujah, and a joy in knowing that your sins are forgiven. David knew full well the hurt to himself and others that sin would bring through his own sin and failure, but he also knew the mercies of God, and he discovered the healing balm, and that's why he said, "Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Praise God. God can do what a psychologist can't do. God can do what a physician can't do. God can do what a psychiatrist can't do. God can do in you and for you what the best lawyer cannot do. God can help you right where you are. I ministered for a little while in the jail with a jail ministry, and I became the jail minister for a little while here in Tampa, Florida. The assistant warden used to attend our church years ago, so I had an open opportunity to go into the prison system. I remember one time we had 32 men in that room, and out of that 32, there was one man that I looked at and I thought, this man must be a hardened criminal of some kind. Everybody's done something wrong, but this guy was intimidating. His eyes were kind of cold, gray, and empty and vacant looking. He looked like what they call a sociopath, someone who could kill you, cut you into pieces, and sleep like a baby because the pain of others would never touch him. He just had that aura about him. And I thought, Lord, you sure got your work cut out for you in here today. But in one of those Bible studies, and I won't go into the detail in this broadcast for time's sake, but that man, to my surprise, my glad surprise, he was one of those that lifted his hand when we ask who wants to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Ah, friend, I was so excited the next week when I went in to teach the Bible, to bring the gospel, because he was there again. And at the end of that particular meeting was my last one. I was turning it over to someone else because I was doing mission work and pastoring and jail ministry, and someone else was going to take the jail ministry. And I remember I was had given everyone a Bible, and they wanted me to sign their Bible. And last one in line was this man. And he brought his Bible, laid it on the table, and he said, "Pastor, I want to thank you for coming and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to us." And I said, "You are welcome. You are so welcome. Amen." And I was signing my name. And as soon as I signed my name to his Bible, I looked up into his eyes, and I didn't see that cold, callous. I didn't see that vacant. I didn't see any wickedness or evil. I saw the love of God in his eyes. And I saw a softness about his countenance that wasn't there previously. And he opened his mouth and began to speak. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Pastor, I came here for a hearing for my final sentencing. I'm on my way from here to Rayford Prison to spend a life without parole sentence." He said, "But I want you to know this. If I never get out of prison for the first time in my life, I am a free man." Ah, hallelujah. Only God can apply healing to something that seems so irreparable, so broken it can't be fixed. God gives that peace within. God gives that forgiveness. God grants a pardon so that we can be reconciled unto Him. And when we have peace with God, we can experience the peace of God. And though He said, "I may never get out of a physical prison, I'm out of the devil's prison." Hallelujah. "And I am free." Hallelujah. You know, the scripture said, "Whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed." In other words, it's the real deal. It is something so powerful, so personal, that when you experience it, no walls of stone or bars of steel can keep you from enjoying the glorious liberty of the sons of God. The forgiveness God offers, the balm that He gives us, is nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ shed in our behalf and all of the mercy and grace that comes with it. The guilt, the shame, and the pain are all erased away. Praise God. And then peace rushes in. And the joy of sins forgiven, hallelujah, begins to just permeate our life and our mind. And if a lifer that is going to spend the rest of his life barring some supernatural intervention of God, and is content to do that if necessary to pay his debt to society, can say, "Every day that I'm in prison, I am still, for the first time in my life, I am a free man." Jesus can set you free. If you're sitting in a prison cell, a literal prison today, right where you sit, Jesus can set you free. If you're in a prison of addiction, a prison of sin, a vicious circle of sin today, and you can't deliver yourself, I'm declaring to you, there is a balm in Gilead. There's a physician there. If you turn to God, repent of your sin, receive Christ as your Savior, the Bible said that He will set you free. This very day, that healing balm can be applied to your very life. And I pray that you will let God do it. You will let Him do it. That summer will not be past, and you will be found unsaved. But you'll be found saved, ready to meet God when the day comes. Amen. If you're a Christian today, and you're experiencing brokenness, turn to the Lord. Look to Him. Don't let the enemy blame Him for your hurt. Ah, He's the one that is your healer and your helper. Friend, would you come back next week? Our time is gone. Would you come back next week? and let's talk about Jesus.